Today is the Feast of Christ the King, and these are the announcements. There will not be blessing of articles after Mass today, but one of the priests will be available at the communion rail to receive any Mass intentions. This evening we will have benediction of the Blessed Sacrament at 6 p.m., which includes the act of consecration, prayer to the Sacred Heart of Jesus on this feast day. So that's this evening at 6 p.m. The cleaning of the chapel will be moved to Wednesday, November 3rd, after the 8:30 a.m. Mass. And those who would like to assist us in raking and cleaning up the landscape may come this Saturday, November 6th, after the 8:30 a.m. Mass. Tomorrow, Monday, November 1st, is All Saints' Day, and it is a holy day of obligation, so all Catholics are seriously bound to assist at Mass if possible. There'll be a high Mass at 9 a.m. and a low Mass at 7 p.m. Tuesday, November 2nd, All Souls Day. There will be a high Requiem Mass at 9 a.m. and then a low Requiem Mass at 7 p.m. And even though it is not a holy day of obligation, All Souls Day, if possible, you should make it in your mind that you'll do everything in your power to assist at least at one of the Masses on All Souls Day to assist the suffering souls in purgatory. And so you can pray all the more earnestly, especially for your friends and relatives who have passed away. This Thursday is the Thursday before the first Friday of the month, and we will have the Holy Hour and Benediction of the Blessed Sacrament at 7 p.m. And this week is the first Friday of the month, so there will be the Mass at 8:30 a.m., followed by the Spiritual Conference and the Rosary. And this Saturday is the first Saturday of the month if you are able to assist at Mass on that day. There was apparently a shortage of All Souls envelopes, and so that's why we didn't get them to you earlier in this month. But make sure, if you've not gotten them, to get them from the vestibule and to fill them out and return them by November 1st so that the names of all the faithful departed that you listed on there will be on the main altar for the three Masses for All Souls Day, and for the entire month of November. So you've seen last year there are two large stacks, that many thousands of names, not only from the group here, but from all over the country, and through the Sisters' website and our website, so people can have their departed relatives, friends, and anyone they want to pray for during this month, upcoming month of November. Their names are on the altar for All Souls Day and the entire month of November, and all five priests here every Mass of November pray especially for those names, those suffering souls, those holy souls in purgatory. So remember to get them, those in envelopes, in. And next weekend, November 7th is when Daylight Saving Time is ending, so that means you have to turn your clocks back, and just we say that so that you are reminded to be on time for Mass. And then the last announcement is, some of you may already know this, but on October 23rd, Sandra Hope Warner passed away. She is the wife of Frank Warner. One of our loyal Catholics who It's very faithful to the Mass and to our community. And the rosary for her departed soul will be next Sunday, November 7th at 7 p.m. here at the chapel. So benediction will be canceled next Sunday. And then the funeral Mass will be on Monday, November 8th at 10 a.m. And the earlier Mass on that Monday will be at 7:30 a.m. So we'll announce this next Sunday, but just so you can plan for that. So please remember to pray for her departed soul. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Paul's Epistle to the Colossians. Brethren, we give thanks to God the Father, who has made us worthy to share the lot of the saints in light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have our redemption through his blood, the remission of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For in him were created all things in the heavens and on the earth, things visible and things invisible, whether thrones or dominations or principalities or powers. All things have been created through and unto him, and he is before all creatures, and in him all things hold together. Again, he is the head of the body, the church, he who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the first place. For it has pleased God the Father that in him all his fullness should dwell, and that through him he should reconcile to himself all things, whether on the earth or in the heavens, making peace through the blood of his cross in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. John, chapter 18, verses 33 to 37. At that time, Pilate said to Jesus, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Dost thou say this of thyself, or have others told thee of me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thy own people and the chief priests have delivered thee to me." "What hast thou done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my followers would certainly have fought that I might not be delivered to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Thou art then a king?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest it, I am a king. This is why I was born, and why I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who hears of the truth hears my voice." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We decided just before the sermon to read one of the Psalms, Psalm 142, and I'll explain after I read it. O Lord, hear my prayer. Hearken to my pleading in your faithfulness. In your justice, answer me. And enter not into judgment with your servant, for before you no living man is just. For the enemy pursues me. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has left me dwelling in the dark like those long dead. And my spirit is faint within me. My heart within me is appalled. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your doings, the works of your hands I ponder. I stretch out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like parched land. Hasten to answer me, O Lord, for my spirit fails me. Hide not your face from me, lest I become like those who go down into the pit. At dawn, let me hear of your kindness, for in you I trust. Show me the way in which I should walk. For to you I lift up my soul. Rescue me from my enemies, O Lord, for in you I hope. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit guide me on level ground. For your name's sake, O Lord, preserve me. In your justice, free me from distress. And in your kindness, destroy my enemies. Bring to naught all my foes. For I am your servant. Now, the reason I read that is because to make everyone here realize what a privilege, what a grace, what a gift to assist at this Mass honoring Christ the King, our King, the King of the universe. Realizing we are all sinners. We have faults, mistakes, imperfect. Just like the apostles. But we're here to make ourselves as fitting as possible, as perfect as possible, by the grace of God, by the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, so that we can be worthy subjects of Christ, our Lord and Savior, our King. Without compromise. In 1925, it was December 11th, and Pope Pius XI wrote this encyclical called Quos Primas. And I'll read from it. And when I read, just because you're hearing a text from a previous pope read, pay attention. It is Christ speaking to us almost 90 years later. So he said, since the holy year has provided more than one opportunity to enhance the glory of the kingdom of Christ, we deem it to be in the highest degree in keeping with our apostolic office to accede to the prayers of many cardinals, bishops, and faithful made known to us both individually and collectively by closing this very year with the ecclesiastical liturgy of a special feast of our Lord Jesus Christ the King. It has long been a common custom to give to Christ the metaphorical title of King because of the high degree of perfection, whereby he excels and surpasses all created things. For as it is the case that he is said to reign in the souls of men, not so much by reason of the keenness of his intellect and the extent of his knowledge, as that he himself is the truth, so it is from him that truth must be drawn and obediently received by all mankind. He reigns likewise in the wills of men, since not only does the integrity and the obedience of the human will accord exactly and precisely with the holiness of the divine will in him, but also by his grace and inspiration. He substitutes this for our free will, whereby we may be enkindled to every noblest deed. In a word, Christ is acknowledged as the King of Hearts on account of his charity, which surpasses understanding, and of his mercy and kindness, which draw to him the souls of men. Never has it happened that anyone has been loved as much as at any time as Christ Jesus is loved by so many different races. Never will it happen in time to come that anyone shall be so loved. But if we ponder this matter more deeply, we cannot but see that the title and the power of a king is rightly claimed for Christ as a man, in the strict and proper sense of the word. For only insofar as he is man can he be said to have received the power and the glory and the kingdom from the Father, seeing that the Word of God, which is of the same substance as the Father, cannot fail to have all things in common with the Father, and therefore has in itself the highest and most absolute dominion over all things created. Now, he wrote this because there is a heresy called laicism, or we call it more often today secularism, which ignores God, denies the existence of God, has hatred for God, which ultimately leads to persons, men and women, boys and girls, worshiping themselves, celebrities, Satan himself. So this secularism refuses the rights of God, ignores the Holy Trinity, especially Christ, who has all the power and rights as a king over all the peoples, nations, persons, families, individuals, all of society, whether they acknowledge him or not. And our Lord, both as God and man, has royalty. His bloodline, coming from the Blessed Virgin Mary, since he was born of the Blessed Virgin Mary, took his flesh from her by the power of the Holy Ghost. She is of royal blood, but also Saint Joseph, his earthly father, had rights over him, even though he did not receive his body from Saint Joseph. Saint Joseph also is of a royal line. But Holy Mother, the Church, after many, many centuries of honoring our Lord as King on Palm Sunday, decided to have a special feast that would not have the interruption, or we can say the other side of what happened historically with our Lord. As you know, he, just days before he was crucified by his own people, by their conspiracy to kill the Son of God, he finally decided to allow himself to be proclaimed and acknowledged as king over the Hebrew people, over all the nations, over the world, over the universe. And so he rode on the donkey into the city of Jerusalem, his city. But right after that, of course, liturgically, we make that present again on Palm Sunday. And then there is the account of the passion of Jesus Christ. So this day is all about having great joy, great thanksgiving, to giving honor to Jesus Christ, our King. And we read Psalm 142 so that we could remember to be humble and grateful and sorry for our sins, not to be self-righteous. All the saints, holy people over the centuries, whom our Lord appeared to. You know what they would do when he first would appear often? They would fall down on their faces because they did not feel worthy to even look at him. But at our holy sacrifice of the Mass, at the consecration, as you've been instructed by our Father Superior, you are to look at the host, the Holy Eucharist, the Son of God, in the flesh, under the appearances of bread, and look at the chalice, which contains the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And you make an act of worship to your King. Our Lord is the truth, all reality. All creatures all truth comes from him. The lies and the evil come from Lucifer and his followers, his fellow devils, and those who follow him on earth, evil men and women. And it's been that way since Adam and Eve. And they will be punished if they don't repent. They will go to hell, which is permanent for those who reject Jesus Christ as King. And make no mistake about it, as everybody here knows, we do everything possible to protect Jesus Christ and the Holy Eucharist from being dishonored or being given to someone who is unworthy or not prepared. That is why we greet newcomers, talk to them, even Catholics, to say, I'm Father so-and-so, and welcome to our chapel. And we find out if they're Catholic or not. But we tell them, if you are to receive Holy Communion, there are those requirements, traditional requirements, to believe in the real presence of our Lord, Jesus Christ, in the Blessed Sacrament, to be in the state of grace, and to be fasting at least 1 hour. But also recently, as it's been mentioned in the last year by our Father Superior in sermons and conferences, that sometimes, and more often than you realize, people are not correctly baptized, so they cannot receive the Holy Eucharist. Or they have been married outside the church or married a second or third time, and all those things have to be worked out to protect the Holy Eucharist, our King, from being given to someone who's unworthy or not prepared. So if anyone who publicly is in favor of killing babies before they're born for abortion, And is it complete hypocrite saying he's a devout Catholic? Whoever he is, I don't care if he's the president or some congressman or whoever it is, they will be denied Holy Communion. And if they're a public sinner like that, they will not be allowed in this church. And any cleric, any pope, bishop, or priest who allows and endorses and gives communion and says that person or any of these people can receive communion, that is a grave scandal and that is a mortal sin. And they know it. And nobody says anything about it. A couple, frankly, wimpy cardinals or bishops this last week made a few comments and then they retreat back to their little homes because they don't want to be get in trouble with these evil people. Well, no, we don't care about them. Let the chips fall. So I say that just so you know, it's absolute. They care more about animals and puppies and cats and kittens and fish and whales more than for babies. So we just say that so you know. The other reason why this doctrine, this dogma, this fact of Jesus Christ being our King is given a special Mass is because the Mass is the most sublime act of worship. And the Pope, Pope Pius XI, chose this date near few days before, this year it's just the day before, the Feast of All Saints, because it's to show his authority and power and kingship over all humanity, but how it's manifested in the saints. We can call them the greatest success stories. So it is of the devil, it is of evil people who dishonor God by saying, you can't pray to saints. Yes, we can. They are our friends in heaven, and they do favors for us. And everybody who denies the power of the saints in their intercessory power, not one of them has been in the situation where they've seen a need. They all will go to some friend or someone over them to ask for a favor, to get have an in with someone in authority. Through the Holy Eucharist, our Lord takes possession of our souls. We receive him, and as quoting, which I say I will always do, our Father, Ward, our Superior, we receive him, but far more, he receives us. We enter into the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ when we receive Holy Communion. And we cannot imagine, but we just believe, the indescribable humility of Jesus Christ, our King, to allow himself to be present under the appearances of bread, small host, so that he can come into his creatures, his children. So he is our King. We adore him as both God and man. He has power, a threefold power. Did you know that? As our king. Legislative, he makes the laws. He creates us, he creates the laws. He creates what's right and wrong. No such thing as situation ethics where you determine what's right for you. Oh, that you hear today. Oh, that's my truth. Wrong. There's no such thing as your truth. It's God. God is truth, and he reveals truth to us, and we have to humble ourselves and beg God for the grace to believe what he's revealed. He has a legislative power of making laws. He has executive power to see that the laws are carried out. So if there is a structure, an organization, you have to have someone in authority to make sure that the laws that he created are propagated and observed, and that is his church, his clergy, the good clergy, the ones who still have the Catholic faith. And then finally, he has judicial power. He has the power to judge us. Everybody knows that. But they act as if there's no tomorrow. So what is the point of having a law if there is no sanction? In other words, if someone disobeys the law, there's no punishment. Then it doesn't mean anything. And the enemies know that. That's why both in the world, spiritual world, the world of the Catholic Church, and in the secular world, laws are being broken all over the place. Things are not being enforced. The good are being persecuted. And it seems like the evil are succeeding and overpowering us. But that's why we have confidence in the power of Jesus Christ to rescue us at the last moment. The fact that he is king, he rules over our minds and wills. But only by those who desire to surrender themselves to him and want to lovingly obey him as their God, as their Lord, as their Redeemer, as their Master. So he does not force himself on his rational creatures, angels and men. The angels had one chance, and it is believed about one-third of them fell away. They rejected the test. They failed the test, rather, that God gave them about this God's grace, sanctifying grace being given to them and to a far lower creature, namely human beings. But for us, who are far weaker and ignorant, and we're sinners, he gives us chances and many chances. Think back how many times you've been on the edge, on the precipice, or in a very great need, and you call upon Jesus Christ, your King, to save you, to help you. And he does not fail. He rescues you. And that is why About 1,300 people over the last 40, 50 years, maybe it's up to 1,500 now, have come to this chapel, have come to these masses. And then they walk away. No, it's too far away. They're trying to make monks out of us. Too many high masses, too much incense. That was said by a woman who was not liking the beautiful gift in 1977 when Father Ward brought the community to Colorado Springs and started giving due honor to God, the Blessed Virgin Mary, and the saints by having high masses on the Feast of St. Joseph, the Annunciation, all of Holy Week, Easter Sunday, Ascension Thursday, Pentecost, Holy Trinity Sunday, Corpus Christi, Feast of Sacred Heart, Saints Peter and Paul, and Precious Blood. Too much. So she complained. And she, because of her ill will, stopped coming to Mass after a few months. If you can believe that. Turning her back on God. And how many others have done the same? And why do I say that? Because it can happen to any of us if we're not careful. St. Paul himself says we are vessels of clay, easily broken. He worried about his own salvation. One of the greatest sinners in all history, St. Paul, became, by the grace of God, one of the greatest saints. And he still was worried because he didn't want to take the grace of God for granted. Even though Christ himself came down physically from heaven and taught St. Paul. That's why we have to always appreciate what we have here. I live here. All the priests live here, but just for myself, I've said this before. I think about it several times a week. And Father Ward just said a few days ago, he says, what a beautiful home we have here. What a beautiful place. It's nothing fancy. We don't have gigantic cathedrals, marble pillars, huge choirs. We're just surviving, doing the best we can. But we have something they have thrown out. The holy sacrifice of the Mass, all the correct doctrine, teaching the correct catechism, and nobody can make us compromise with the modernists. As virtually all the other traditional groups are doing now. Unbelievable horror stories of traditional organizations known all over the world. The corruption, the compromise. Traditional priests don't even know how to baptize. You think that's Novus Ordo? It's traditional priests. They're so ignorant. They don't know what they're doing. And we have to pick up the pieces and help poor people come here so they can be right before God with baptisms and marriages, etc. And that's why we, and you know that, Father taught us, and this is what we've been doing, we continue it now, we spend huge amounts of time teaching children, teenagers, young adults, middle-aged people, and elderly people in person, on the phone, online, the Catholic faith. And it takes weeks and months. And do not make the mistake of thinking, oh, Father Kocher is praising himself and these people. No, that's our duty. If we don't do it, we're committing a sin. It's our privilege to do this. So the very last thing we will tell you is the best way to honor our Lord as our King, as our Savior, is to do exactly what he told us to do. To deny ourselves, take up our cross daily, and follow him. Follow Jesus Christ, our King, to heaven, so that we can be part of his kingdom and not the world, the kingdom of the world, led by Satan. And you do that, as you know, by assisting at Mass on the holy days, assisting at Mass on days that are not of obligation, by being faithful to your prayers. As we said over and over again, making sure you say your rosary. And as often as possible, receiving the Holy Eucharist and going to the sacrament of penance frequently to make yourself as perfect as possible for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, our King, when you receive him in Holy Communion. May God bless you.